And currently, we have 40 degrees in the Roanoke area, 37 in Danville, 38 in Salem, 41 in Lynchburg, 38 in Bedford, and 40 in Amherst.
We always love having this guy on the program. It's 8:06, and it's time for Dr. Bob Denton. He is the director of School of Communication at Virginia Tech, where apparently they're going to be getting a new coach, Dr. Bob. We just talked about that going into the break.
That I'm a little bit surprised when I heard you say that.
Yeah.
You know, it's kind of bad when your future is depending upon these 17, 18-year-olds. And, of course, now they're free agents and they are paid employees of the university. I tell you, the whole football and student athletic, which is a myth, is a tough world to be in.
Oh, yeah.
But I feel for Coach Fuente. I liked his values. I thought he was a good coach. So anyway, but I'm not surprised. You know how the Hokie Nation is.
Yeah, they want wins. They want winning seasons. I get that. But I don't want to call you out on that. I'd rather call you out on something a little bit more fun like
more
politics.
More pleasant.
So, Dr. Denton, we've been talking about this transition team. Some of the folks, we've had a few stories here on the show of some of the folks that, you know, Glenn Youngkin is pulling together. That is really one of the first signs of how this guy may govern, is the folks that he is putting together for his team. Can we speak to that for a few minutes?
Oh, absolutely. No, I the 12-member team is certainly an excellent diverse in terms of geography, political party, levels of government experience, array of industries and jobs from the private and public sector. I think it's an impressive group. I think it does signal a few things. One, cooperation, less hyper-partisanship, and above all, which is partly why it's successful in winning, is the focus is going to be on Virginia.
Mm-hmm.
But I think it's a very good mix, and I have to say from South Side and Southwest Virginia, we certainly benefit with four folks of the 12. And so this region, for more than a decade, losing positions at delegates and Senate, losing leadership of various committees, going more and more toward Northern Virginia.
Mm-hmm.
And it's good to see that South Side and Southwest Virginia is very much part of his consideration and well attended in this team. And, of course, it was South Side and Southwest Virginia that really did come through for him in a major way. So I think it's an impressive group. I think it's a representative group, and I think it bodes well, quite frankly.
Can we talk a little bit about the post-election analysis now, a week to 10 days out? I don't know if I got to the sound bites yesterday, but there are some really, really crazy, and they're mostly on MSNBC, but they still get a voice on a potential network that covers the whole country, talking about the whole white Trump, you know, right wing, you know, white supremacist voters that came out for Glenn Youngkin. They are just trying to paint this guy with that brush, and he hasn't even set foot inside the governor's mansion yet.
Well, the fact of the matter is, if you look at the exit polling, if you look at the actual down to even the precinct level, it was a transformative election. The most votes anyone running for governor, certainly the most any Republican has received. The turnout is a historic level in terms of the governor, contemporary modern times for government. Clearly inroads in terms of the minority vote, suburbs, swing voters, independent voters return in terms of the Republicans. I mean, if you take the 30,000-foot view, there's no rationale for some of those statements like that. But I have to confess, and please forgive me, I don't even turn on MSNBC or CNN or any of those. They're not sources of my attention.
Mm-hmm.
But I have heard around the fringes in terms of some of the articles. And it's just what they're doing is opining. They're certainly not reporting.
Well, they don't want to admit that they had a flawed candidate in Terry McAuliffe. You know, he made education the number one topic that seemed to get people out to vote against him. So I, you know, they're not honest in their analysis, but you know, they do what they do. Let's talk about how we move forward. What do you see in that first 100 days? I know we still have to deal with the Senate side of our state legislature, but he will have, according to what we're seeing, you know, a Republican, you know, legislature, at least half of it that he can work with. What do you think he can get done in that, you know, that first 100 days, 6 months?
Well, there's going to be a lot of focus on that, and really, if I was on the one of the 12, I would certainly say only pick 1 to 3 items. Just mm-hmm. focus on that. Certainly going to have to be take Democrats to get anything through, because as you say, the reality is it is the Senate.
Mm-hmm.
So keep it Virginia-focused, 2 or 3 big things. The budget looks very positive, almost incredibly so. And do be very proactive in terms of selling it across the state. So I would say don't be over ambitious. I think there's some things that are doesn't require approval, such as no mandates per se, what are the responsibility of localities, and certainly as it relates to the food tax and some of the other things that he had talked about would be very important. So the first 100 days, remember Northam in December is going to have a budget.
Mm-hmm.
And then when the governor-elect takes over, there will be some revisions there, 2 or 3 initiatives. Certainly must be working behind the scenes with the Democrats in terms of the Senate.
Mm-hmm.
So don't overreach. Stay focused on Virginia would be what I would anticipate. He's very smart. His team is smart. The campaign was one of the, as I have shared with y'all, one of the, since 1992 with George Allen, probably the third best that I had seen. And that shows me the very strategic, pragmatic, programmatic, with a good focus, and he's very disciplined.
And so
I think we'll see that same kind of operational going forward.
So we have officially certified the results of the election, but 2 races where Republicans are leading are eligible for recounts. What do you think is going to happen there?
Well, because of that it's less than 0.5%, the individuals will not have to pay for the recount. But I have to tell you, even though the numbers are in one case under 100, in one case 127, because of the counting today and the technology, and the odds would be against that they would find that number of votes. I think it's a bit late to pull something out of a closet, but who knows? I mean,
it's happened before.
But they have been certified. So the fact of the matter is, I think the odds it would be oftentimes you might find 10%. So that would be 12 or 9, 10 or 12 votes. But the odds would still be that those should stand.
Mm-hmm.
If I had a dollar to bet, I would say that it should stand.
And
but that's still a thin line majority, though.
Mm-hmm.
Well, it is, but it's certainly better than a 50-50 split.
Without question.
So
yes.
So
indeed.
that could be very good for him, for sure. All right, well, we appreciate so much, as always, your insight on these things, and look forward to having you on again as we usher Governor Runkin in January with great anticipation.
Yes. And Marie,
well, this is going to be a major transition, and I think the Virginians can see a little bit of sigh of relief, and certainly we got the nation's attention in terms of this election. And I think the Democrats are listening and trying to pay attention, looking in terms of the midterm election.
Hey, one quick question. I just want to kind of a yes or no answer, or you can comment because, you know, you are our guest.
That's right.
What do you think about, do you think that Terry McAuliffe will be tapped by Joe Biden? And if he is, where do you think he's going to place him in his administration?
I would say odds are yes. Mm-hmm. And I have no idea.
Gotcha. Hey, that's well, that will give us some conversations in the near future. Thank you so much.
Absolutely.
You gotta love Dr. Bob. He just like calls it like it is.
Yeah, that's right. Dr. Bob Denton from Virginia Tech. He is the communications head over there, and we just appreciate him so much. He brings so much insight. It's 8:16 on the Morning Jam. Janet will have our winner for our Come to the Table event that we're celebrating now on Tuesdays. We're so excited that the folks over at Harvest Baptist and it's
honey baked ham.
Honey baked ham. I knew it as heavenly ham for so many years.
Right, it's honey baked ham.
The Morning Jam with you. Janet Rose and Mark Lamb. Jam.
To make the rocking world go round.
Big wheels rolling, big wheels rolling, moving on.
Yes, sirree.
Big wheels rolling, gotta keep them going. Big wheels rolling, moving on.
Little Merle Haggard.
The white line is the lifeline to a nation.
Mm-hmm. All right. Well, we love our truck drivers.
We do.
A lot. And I don't like it when they get picked on.
Nope.
We've got truck drivers that listen to us. They really have kept America going during a very difficult time. And yet, the industry is looking for more drivers. They need more drivers. Mm-hmm. Some stories are reporting that we're at a crisis level shortage of drivers. I don't know that it's that bad or if they're just being dramatic because you can never know. This story's from MSNBC.
Oh, okay.
So you got to put it through the filter, folks.
Right.
That's all geez. I'm saying. And according to one MSNBC host, the reason that they're so low on drivers is because the trucking industry is racist. I didn't know if you knew that. Did you know that? Did you know it was racist?
I have seen plenty of black truck drivers all over the place.
Including our own Miss Ruth Ann. She was a truck driver.
As a matter of fact, most of the guys that delivered when I had my business were African American.
Right.
So what's up with that?
Well, this hostess says, let's see, so what is
They're
her name?
They're just so intellectually dishonest.
I'm not that familiar with her, but apparently it's Tiffany Cross is
right.
her name.
Okay.
And she has accused people who populate the trucking industry as a lot of white men over the age of 55.
Well, just that term in and of itself, that populate the trucking industry.
Yes. Alleging that racism is widespread among truck drivers.
Brother.
How can the industry become more welcoming? Asked the Cross Connection host on an MSNBC segment this past weekend discussing supply chain woes.
Wow.
She says, I have to tell you, I've talked to a lot of truck drivers in preparing for this segment, and most of these truck drivers are people of color, and they talk about, you know, hearing some of the racism over the CB radio.
Okay.
Like, look, you're going to hear a lot of stuff on the CB radio.
People talk smack all the time.
Right. Well, and there may be. There may be some people.
Right.
Like that. But if most of the drivers you're talking to are people of color, why is that? Did you actually talk to any of the white drivers?
Right.
Or did you just talk to the people of color? There's all kinds of things. There's a reason why my daddy wouldn't let me listen to the CB.
Right.
I mean,
your dad was smart.
That was not allowed. But this was how she couched it. This is an industry populated by a lot of white men over the age of 55, overwhelmingly voted for Trump. Wow, she knows their voting status too.
Jeez,
huh. And they're aggressive.
Of course they are.
Didn't know if you knew that. They say that they're aggressive truck drivers and cut them off and are not helpful. So obviously, the more populated with people of color, you'll see less of that.
Right?
Oh, did you know that?
Of course.
Right. Because, you know, they're all, I mean, let's face it, if we could get an entire industry of color in the trucking industry, it would just be like Mr. Rogers' Neighborhood. You know, won't you be my neighbor? Sure, that's how it'll work. MSNBC guest Pamela Day, owner and president of Cross Country Truck Driving School.
Mm-hmm.
She's black, by the way.
Right.
She owns her own trucking school.
How can that be possible,
how
Janet?
How is that possible?
I mean, because there's...
I don't know. That's crazy. Why would you even want to go into industry like that?
Well, because, gosh.
Mm-hmm. She says that she has experienced racism during her 8 years of trucking experience. I'm sure you have.
Right.
Just as we've all had experiences like that. I think just what you're doing, getting myself as a black female out there and letting people know I drove for almost 8 years and yes, ran into a lot of racism, but I was out there to do my job. And look, part of your problem, lady, is you're a lady. I mean, there are more ladies driving trucks than there used to be.
Right, right.
But I mean, like our own Miss Ruth Ann.
Oh yeah.
She was a woman of color driving trucks long before that was popular.
I don't know if she's ever shared this on the air. I know she shared it with us personally, but she was married to a white guy, and somebody told her that one time, and she had been with Vernon for a number of years.
Mm-hmm.
Really? He's white? And
oh,
she was shocked.
No.
She was shocked.
I can't believe it.
Because she saw her beloved Vernon for the man he was and didn't look at the skin color.
All right.
But anyway.
Trucking industry is short around 80,000 drivers.
Mm-hmm.
And 72,000 of those have been taken off the road since January of 2020 due to the implementation of a new drug testing.
Oh, wow.
Didn't hear that. I haven't heard that before. That's
a new one on me, yeah.
It's been required by the Drug and Alcohol Clearinghouse. Around 56% of those drug violations are due to marijuana consumption.
Mm-hmm.
And a drug that, despite me being legal in many states, is still illegal at the federal level.
Okay.
All right. Not that you want a bunch of pot-laden truck drivers out there on the roads. With a growing number of drivers being deemed ineligible to drive due to drug violations and a large number of retirements, nearly 1 million new truck drivers will be needed over the next decade.
Yes, I remember hearing that stat.
So I think that probably is accurate there.
I did find your lady here. Let's listen just a little bit.
My lady.
The one you mentioned.
Gotcha.
Yeah, Tiffany Cross.
Tiffany. Backlog supply chain is something surprisingly simple. There just aren't enough people to drive the trucks. Now, the industry, which predominantly employs white men over the age of 55, has a massive retention problem with a 92% turnover rate last year, leaving a shortage of 80,000 truck drivers nationwide. And guess who's needed to bail out the industry? Our next guest.
We need young people. I mean, this is a, you know people and I know people. I have my brother-in-law. He's hauling a earth mover right now. He's going to come and stay with us a couple of days this week. I mean, these are hardworking folks. And I got to be honest with you, Janet. When you're on the clock, you're driving this huge machine hauling 50,000 pounds worth of cargo, in this case, for my brother-in-law. I mean, you don't screw around with your phone. You don't text. You don't relax. Trucking is one of those jobs that you have the focus all the time because you can kill yourself or a lot of other people if you're not paying attention as a truck driver. You got to be smart too, because he's got to load all these. He came to the house one time, I'm not kidding you, with something like 8 different kinds of tractors on his truck, and they were all broken down because he takes them up to this Amish family that they fix the old tractors and revitalize them and use them. And you have to know how to load this stuff. It takes somebody that has some ingenuity, that has a great work ethic, and you got to be smart too, especially when you're hauling the kind of stuff my brother-in-law hauls. It's just, it's a very rewarding job. He loves what he does, and he gets to see the country in ways that you and I will never see it.
Well, we've got some texts coming in from truckers saying, take a look at the Obama era changes to the trucking regulations
and stuff. Yeah.
That really caused a lot of layoffs, increasing, you know, more red tape and all of that.
Well, we had Christian Sneed in here not that long ago. He didn't say this on the air. He said it after the interview. He said 25% of my trucks for the company the Dawson truck line couldn't go into the, they couldn't even go into the state of California because of the regulations that California puts on truck drivers. And nobody's really talking about the regulation aspect. That's why there's 80 some ships sitting off coast, because they, there's certain truck drivers that can't even enter the state of California because their trucks don't meet the emissions. Now I'm thinking, to get this backlog taken care of, waive that stuff for 60 days and let's get these boats unloaded.
Well, hey,
come on.
You get breaks if you are driving a natural gas truck. Did you know that?
I didn't know that.
You do. It's true.
Wow.
Randy is just cruising for a bruising.
What's he doing?
Says, we need more women truckers. Not. Because we know they can't drive and they're mad all the time.
Ooh, ouch.
And apply their makeup while driving.
Oh, no.
And to their nails. I'll stop now.
Okay.
I can't drive today because I have to do my hair and nails, says every lady truck driver.
Oh, Lordy.
He says, my wife can really pack a car. If she was a trucker, she'd be overweight on every run.
Oh, Ruth Ann's going to call.
Randy.
You can call us, Ruth Ann, and spank Randy. I'm all for it.
If Randy's wife is listening, that may already be done. So, all right, we got your local headlines. We are going to announce our winner.
Yep.
With our Come to the Table Tuesday. It's not too late for you to get your name in the running. I'm going to draw it, actually, as we're in break now. 434-248-0704. Tell us your name, where you work, and how many people in your department. You could win a Come to the Table lunch, courtesy of Honey Baked Ham and Harvest Baptist Church and the Morning Jam. Yeah.
I have to admit that I do like it when Randy stirs up the hornet's nest a little bit.
Yeah.
Unless the bee...
I'll store up his hornet's nest.
Unless they're biting me and then I say, yeah. Stop!
That's right. Currently, 41 degrees in Bedford, 41 degrees in Amherst, 41 in Salem and Roanoke, 39 still in Danville. Golly day.
Danville plain ketchup all day.
Yeah.
Not to be confused with my Heinz ketchup.
I know. It's true.
We ate at a restaurant the other day. We have these breakfast skillets, and they're amazing. They bring them out. It's about probably 8 inches in diameter, and I just carve out a little space with my fork, and then I just... I fill the whole, like, half-moon side full of ketchup.
Oh, I was like, what are you doing?
And then I eat it and dip it in.
So you had a little scramble with your ketchup.
I did.
Okay.
And they really do a great job. They put the potatoes in there.
Well, if it's a great job, why are you using so much ketchup?
Well, it's
in
just...
my world of culinary arts, using a lot of ketchup sauces, steak sauce in general, would imply... that I mean, you know, you watched The Food That Saved America.
Yeah.
Why was ketchup invented?
Oh, yeah. Well, see, I don't use it for that reason. Ketchup was invented to cover the bad taste of meat because they had no way of keeping meat the way we keep meat now, right, in refrigerators and freezers.
Literally, it was made to cover up the taste of bad food
exactly
that they were eating. So I take that serious, buddy. I just want you to know. That's serious talk right
Take
there.
That off the Christmas present list for Janet. That
no ketchup.
Heinz ketchup is not coming her way.
Not coming my way. No. Well, the holiday season is upon us.
It is.
And sadly, that means it's a season for scammers. Some of these scams we are seeing in this area. Even the FBI is getting involved now.
Oh, boy.
Because so many people are falling prey to scams, particularly around the holiday season.
Sure.
They say the two biggest scams that are out there now are non-delivery and non-payment crimes.
Wow.
These two scams cost people more than $265 million.
Yeah, that's for real.
So the five trending online holiday scams are phony selling, fake invoices and bank notifications, lookalike pages. Your order has been canceled.
Right.
And renew your membership for the purchase you've made. They release some best practices to help people avoid getting scammed. They urge you not to click on suspicious links or attachments in emails, websites, or on social media. These phishing scams will ask you for personal information like names, passwords, and bank account numbers.
Right.
When you're buying from a website, make sure the URL is legit and secure. The website should always have HTTPS in the address.
Right.
If you don't see that there, it is not legitimate.
Right.
They also say make sure you do your research if you're purchasing from a company for the first time. Because of COVID, because of supply issues, many people are shopping online, although we encourage you to shop local. If you are purchasing online, sometimes that can even happen with people posing as local businesses.
Sure.
Verify the buyer or seller. Check feedback ratings if you're buying from an online marketplace or auction site. Avoid sellers who act as authorized dealers or factory representatives.
Yeah.
That one I had not heard before.
Yeah, that's... Boy, they, I have to give them ingenuity.
Oh, yeah.
As one of their gifts.
Look, there's a reason why they're stealing $265 million from Americans every holiday. Be careful if the seller responds to questions saying they are out of the country, on business, or on a family emergency.
Right.
Warning.
Well, Wilbenthin.
That's right. Stay away from buyers who request their purchase be shipped a certain way to avoid customs or taxes inside another country. So, and they say never wire money directly. I mean, there's a lot. There's a lot of stuff going on with some of these scams.
I had a lady within our listening area, $18,000 worth of gift cards. Nobody's ever going to ask you to pay them with a gift card.
Right.
That's just boom.
Well, and the best advice they give is if it seems too good to be true, it is.
Yeah.
Not it probably is, it is.
Yeah. That's another thing. Cole just texted me and said, always look for that lock.
Right, exactly.
On the website URL, which is in the window up there, your search window. That means it's a secure website.
And I have used that more times than I can count. We were without a dishwasher right now, which isn't a big deal when it's just the two of us.
Right.
Now, come Sunday, my Thanksgiving dinner, that's going to be a little nerve-wracking. I don't mind telling you.
Do you have one of those big metal tubs?
I might
have to put that out on the deck just to wash dishes.
We know it's a little cold, folks. But I will say I've got beautiful plastic wear, so I don't have to worry about that. Paper plates.
Sure.
But I've been ordering the part. We were looking to order the part.
Right.
The one place we found, it was a good price, had free shipping. The price was in line with some other places, and they could get it to us in a timely way.
Sure.
Well, I go to order it, and they're only taking Venmo or PayPal.
Right.
Now, what kind of organization only takes... Yeah. Venmo or PayPal?
Organizations that don't want to be traced.
I could not get off of that, that one fast enough.
Yeah, good for you.
They're like, yeah, not doing that.
Yeah. So we have speaking of stealing, there was a robbery at the Advance Auto Parts store in Danville. Police are still looking for two individuals connected with the robbery Saturday. And according to Danville police, two males entered the store on Westover Drive around 8:30 p.m. on the 13th. And they stole an undisclosed amount of cash, displaying a gun when they left the store. You know, they left with the money and cash in hand, and the police want your help. And this is one way that the public can get involved. If you know anything about it, please reach out to the local authorities. And that's all they give me. They don't really give me a description or anything like that of the suspects. But... it's usually when they show up, Janet, and they got a little bit of extra coin and you wonder where it comes from.
Right. That's right. Well, late Monday night, the Amherst County Humane Society announced a code red on social media. Hmm. They say this shelter is officially beyond capacity.
Oh, wow.
According to the Humane Society, all of their kennels are completely full. As a result, members of the Amherst County community thinking of bringing home a new furry friend are encouraged to visit the shelter and check out the adoptable pets. They have everything from canines to felines to rabbits, and their website shows more than 20 animals available for adoption. The adoption fees that they have include the cost of a health exam, deworming, flea protection, distemper, rabies, spaying, neutering, and heartworm tests for dogs, as well as the feline test for the cats.
Mm-hmm.
I looked at the prices and I thought they seemed kind of high.
Right.
But it's because they're doing all that before you get them. Adult dogs are $25 mm-hmm. with a $50 off for non-purebred dogs. Apparently, okay. they have some purebreds up there right
wow.
now.
Yeah.
So that's a bargain.
Yeah, that's very much a bargain.
What you're looking for.
$1,400, $1,500.
Puppies, purebreds, mm-hmm. and small dogs are $175.
Okay.
I mean, small
Man,
dogs
I wish
are
Oliver
impossible.
Could handle another
I know.
Friend, but he will not allow anyone else in our house.
He won't do it. Mm-mm. Senior dogs are age 7 or older, mm-hmm. 75. Cats and kittens, 40.
Okay.
Exotic cats like Bengal, Himalayans, Siamese, or Scottish Fold are 100.
Okay.
So if you're thinking about a pet, maybe you're thinking a lot of people incorporate them around the holidays because mm-hmm. you're home more.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Please check out the Amherst County site.
Yeah.
Because they are at Code Red right now. And yeah. and all of your local, and you can adopt if you're not in Amherst. Mm-hmm. If they've got the animal you want and you're in Southside or you're right. in Roanoke, you sure. can still adopt from them.
Sure.
So please check it out because we don't want to see any of these animals put down.
Okay.
I already have four. I can't take another one. My bed's not big enough. That's all I have to say about that.
That's right. Hey, we had a story about truckers a little while ago. Trucker Bob on the line wanted to check in. Good morning.
Good morning. How y'all doing this morning?
We're doing okay. Great. What's going on?
Oh, I just weighing in on some of that stuff. I got scammed one time by a guy at a truck stop.
Mm.
He come up to me with a handful of money. Said, look, I need to fill up my reefer tank, and I don't want to put it on the cart because then it'll show up on the logbook.
Right.
I understood that because I've been there and done that. So I just need a buck or two, and I gave him a dollar, and he went on down the line getting a few more. And doggone it, I come in a week later, he was doing the same thing.
Oh, wow.
And I said, hey, dude, you got me last week. What's the matter? Can't you keep your reefer tank full? And some guy said, hey, he just got a dollar off me. This guy took off running. He didn't run to a truck. He ran across the parking lot and jumped in a car.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
That really ticked me off.
Sure.
Now, there was a time that I was down towards Charlotte, pulled into a place down there, went in to get something to eat. And there's a young man, and he looked down on his luck. I mean, he mm-hmm. just looked miserable and stuff. And he was hungry. You could tell he was hungry, asking for, you know, a little bit. And I don't give people money anymore.
Yeah.
But what
yeah.
I did do is I, and unbeknownst to me, another driver, we both went in and we bought some food. We bought double. And I bought him a drink and a Snickers bar for dessert, brought it back out to him, gave it to him. And this young man wolfed it down. So he was definitely hungry
right.
and in need.
Well, so, and like I say, I am perfectly willing to help out mm-hmm. anybody, but mm-hmm. I'm less likely to hand out money now than I am.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah, I gave up. I was in Richmond one day, and a guy was sitting there panhandling at a place where you got to come to a stop. He was sitting there saying he was hungry and thirsty, and I thought, oh, what the heck? I got an extra sandwich in my lunch bucket, mm-hmm. so I gave him a sandwich and a diet drink. And I thought, as I'm pulling away, I look back in my mirror, and he's put the sandwich on a post and put the drink on a post, didn't touch it. Mm-hmm. Oh, dude, if you're hungry and thirsty,
yeah.
I'd be scarfing that thing down.
Sure.
Mm-hmm.
I got kind of disgusted with that one. I thought, well, I gave it to him. That's all that counts.
That's right.
Yeah, that's it. You did.
And
you
anything
did
else is on them.
As far as female truck drivers go,
uh-oh.
My hat's off to Ruthann. She drove team. That's a special kind of driver.
Yeah.
That's exactly
one
right.
One speaks while the other one drives.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
I mean, you got to have a lot of trust in that guy behind or person behind the wheel. And I've seen some women drivers out here that can handle a big rig better than I can.
Yeah.
All right.
But and I can handle one pretty good. But I've seen young men out here and men out here that do driving for the first time a big truck. And you say, go back to Sears and Roebuck and get your CDL renewed.
Oh, goodness.
Hey, Bob, thank you for calling in. And be safe out there, and thanks for what you do, bud.
I will be. Pray for me. I'm heading up to Sodom and Gomorrah.
Oh,
all right.
Lord.
Oh, boy.
Northern Virginia.
Yeah, Northern Virginia.
You nailed it,
yeah.
Janet. Way to go. Trucker Bob on the line this morning. And just to clarify, for those of you that grew up in the 70s like me, when he says reefer, he's talking about a refrigerator trailer, okay?
Right.
I don't want you to think anything different or ill of Bob. Well, they're hauling pot.
Hey, your wife weighed in on female truck drivers.
Yeah, I can't say what she said.
I will. Said, hey, if we have more female truck drivers, all this would get done. They wouldn't take any crap from the higher ups. I hear you, girl.
You mean all this
That's
would
right.
get done.
That's
yeah.
exactly mm-hmm. right. Hey, let's do our winner before We every Tuesday mm-hmm. we do Come to the Table Tuesdays.
Yep.
And all we ask is that you text us your name mm-hmm. and where you work and how many people are in your department. You don't even have to do that. It's for up to 10 people. So if it's yep. any more than 10, I can't help you. 434-248-0704. Once you get your name in, you're in. Mm-hmm. And we pull someone out every week to bless them with this,
yep.
Courtesy of Honey Baked Ham and our friends at Harvest Baptist Church, where they encourage you, it's time to be kind. Today's winner is Sarah Fury.
Okay.
She is a park ranger at Holiday Lake State Park.
Nice.
There are 7 in her department.
Okay, cool.
And she is excited about treating them to a delicious lunch from
awesome.
Honey Baked Ham. So, Sarah Fury, ranger with Holiday Lake State Park, she's our winner. Congratulations. You could join the winners next Tuesday if you send in your submission here to the Morning Jam.
Sarah, this is for you.
Do, 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 do. Loving it.
We're not sending her to McDonald's.
No, not to McDonald's. It's just the fact that we're loving it that she won.
We do love that she won,
It's time for Janet's 5 and Dine on the Morning Jam. Give her 5 minutes, and she'll give you some great inspiration for a delicious meal tonight.
5 and Dine is brought to you by our friends at F&L Market. They're on Memorial Avenue in Lynchburg. They are cutting and grinding fresh meats every single day. They will get you ready for the holidays. They are fully stocked and ready to go. Go by and see Todd and the crew today. They're a locally owned, independently owned grocery store, and they even have cashiers that take care of you. It's so great.
And a nice, tall black gentleman waited on me last time I was there. Handsome fella.
Now, was he checking out? Oh, he was charming, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, he was checking me out. I mean, not that way. I mean, I gave him my money.
I'll do the recipe.
Thank you, save me from here, please.
You gave him your money after he was checking you out?
Stop!
Dig that hole deeper. So I'll be sharing some Thanksgiving recipes for you as we get closer to that season. This is one that I'm actually making this weekend. Mm-hmm. You make it in a crock pot, makes it much easier to... I have a one that's a small set of 3 mm-hmm. crock pots, mm-hmm. and so usually I'll put it in that one. It does a great job. It is a... If you like corn pudding, you'll definitely like this, but it's a little bit more savory than that. This is a crock pot corn casserole that's a great side dish for Thanksgiving. You're going to need a can of yellow or white corn or mixed, and you're going to want to drain that, and then you're going to have some cream corn in a bowl. You're going to mix together the canned corn and the cream style corn along with a little bit of sugar. Some sour cream, your eggs, and your melted butter. You're going to incorporate all of that. Then, after you incorporate all that into the into your corn, you're going to add in a 6 to 7 ounce package of cornbread mix to the rest of the ingredients and stir it to incorporate it. Next, you'll add in your sharp cheddar cheese. And I like to use sharp. You can use whatever you have on hand. Spray the inside of your slow cooker with the cooking spray. Pour that into the crock pot and put the lid on the slow cooker. Set it to high. Cook it for about 2.5 hours until the center is completely set. Mm. And you can transfer it to a serving bowl. Or you can, like I say, I do it in my little crock pots. I just mm-hmm. leave them all there together. It is a delicious, easy Thanksgiving side. Really yummy. Check out the recipe by going to Facebook, type in Janet's 5 and Dine. You'll find this recipe and all the recipes that we share here on the Morning Jam.
Before you fire up the coffee maker, turn on the Morning Jam with Janet and Mark on the Virginia Talk Radio Network.
She said she too young, don't want no man. So she gon' call her friends, oh, that's a plan. I just saw the sushi from Japan. Now yo wanna kick in Jackie Chan.
The Morning Jam with Janet and Mark on the Virginia Talk Radio Network.
I need to have Steve saying, The Morning Jam, kicking it Jackie Chan.
That's right.
9 to 69.
We don't know what that means, but you know, there's that.
There's that.
So there's something really exciting mm-hmm. that is coming out. I think you're really going to be excited about this.
Okay, I'm ready. Let's go.
There is something that they're calling a Reese cup pie.
Oh, I saw that.
This
it's huge.
Thing is big.
It's huge.
It's 9 inches in diameter. It weighs 3.25 pounds.
Wow.
The Hershey Company revealed its new Reese's Thanksgiving pie, which is basically a giant Reese cup.
Right. Yeah, I'm loving it.
It seems a little crazy to me, but they've already sold out.
Really? Wow. Holy cow.
Only three. Do this math. Do you have your calculator up?
I will bring it up right now.
3,000 of them were made.
Okay, 3,000.
And they were sold for $45 a piece.
Yeah, that's $135,000. $135,000.
Yeah, and they're already gone.
Boom. I bet you that's coming back.
Probably. The whole pie equates to 7,680 calories.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
That's a little more than my daily intake.
A little.
That's like a whole week's worth. No, at least 3.5 days.
We apologize due to high demand. This product is sold out. We do have 1 pound Reese cups instead.
Nah.
Who wants that?
Not interested.
Nobody. Pass.
Wow.
Can you imagine? So now I will have peanut butter pie on the menu for my Thanksgiving dinner.
Oh.
For
Check.
Sure.
Honey, we gotta go.
That's yeah, we have peanut butter pie. This year we have peanut butter pie. I have to do the obligatory pumpkin pie for
yeah,
my heart.
Yeah, yeah, I understand.
And then I do a large soft ginger cookie.
Oh.
That is half dipped in like a glaze, like a lemon glaze.
I like it.
And yeah, so that will be my little dessert area this year. So we'll see.
Here's the problem. I gotta come to work the next day.
True.
How's that going to be possible? I think I'm going to be a little hungover.
You'll sleep really well.
I'm sure
that's all
I
have to say. You'll sleep great.
Good thing I do my measurement and weigh in on Saturdays. It sounds like
there
that.
You go.
It's like, I just won't eat for 2 days until I get to the house.
That's a good move. A California man was surprised when he found an uninvited guest in his home.
Ooh.
Helping himself to his KFC.
Oh, that's not nice.
I know. Apparently, the mama bear was outside watching the house. Her cubs were inside enjoying 11 herbs and spices.
Don't forget Janet has apple pie and some peanut butter pie left over.
Oh, my gosh. It's
wow.
So funny. So he called 911. The two cubs were ransacking his home. And there's pictures of them.
Okay.
They are tearing that bucket open.
Wow.
Says, I see a bear in my kitchen. He's eating my Kentucky Fried Chicken.
Imagine that 911 call.
He said, I was very concerned about my pets at the time. I really wasn't thinking. I ran past her because I wanted to get to my animals to make sure they were okay. While one cub devoured his bucket of chicken on the kitchen counter, the other one was ransacking the house.
Wow. This is a team. It's a team effort on
man,
this deal.
That's crazy.
Man alive. Well.
Well, apparently the parakeet freaked out and left.
Uh-huh.
Or was eaten. We're not really sure. And the dog, Woody, he's okay. He came back later. He got the heck out of Dodge, though, when he saw that going on.
Oh, yeah. I'd leave, too.
Yeah.
Hey, make today awesome. Congratulations again to our winner.
Sarah Furry.
Yep.
She was our winner.
Tomorrow's hump day. We'll do it again then. And until then, we'll see you later.
Uh-huh.
You're listening to the Virginia Talk Radio Network. 100.